Hello, hello, hello. This is Idaho Bo and
Vivacious Vic.
we are here again to bring you an episode on self, freedom and sustainability, personal sovereignty, and how to preserve your harvest. We're going to talk about home preservation today. You know, we kind of brought you through the stages of starting a garden. We got real down and dirty and talked about dirt, about soil. First of all, then we were talking about planting the garden. We brought some friends in who have gardened and beyond with their permaculture practices. And today we're going to talk about the harvest because it is coming on strong. Yesterday, I make bone broth and I went to deliver some at my niece's house, who has a literal hedge of raspberries. She's never pruned them. And she said, "Hey, Aunt Bo, you want to go out and pick some arugula and some lettuce?" And I looked out and I said, "How about some raspberries too?" And she goes, "Please." So I got my lettuce and arugula and went out to the raspberries. Oh my goodness. It is a gold mine of raspberries at the price of what, $4.99, $5.99 a pint for organic ones. Anyway, needless to say, I picked a gallon bag and there was still a plethora of berries left. And I'm freezing those. Last week, I picked enough to make 10 jars of raspberry jam, and there's still a buttload on there. And I know Vicky has something similar.
I have a lot. Half of my drawer freezer is full of vacuum packed raspberries. I went out this morning and I picked at least a gallon of raspberries, and that was only half of my patch. So I've got to go back out later today and finish the back half. So it's harvest season. I've already canned some beets, pickled beets. I have the vacuum pack and frozen raspberries, and I just dug a bunch of cloves of garlic to see how they're doing. And this week is garlic harvest, and so things are moving so quickly and very, very abundantly this year. I've never had this kind of harvest before, so it's a bumper crop year, and so we want to talk about the different techniques of preserving food, and there's several. And I do believe Bo and I have experimented with almost all of them to one degree or another. So we'll lend our experiences and expertise and the ones that we do take a part in, and then we'll also give you information on where to go to find deeper solutions in your particular area. And the harvest is going to be different in every region. We're in the Pacific Northwest in Idaho. She's in Northern Idaho, I'm in Southern. And so we're going to go through a list of the different kinds of food preservation, and then we'll highlight details on each one.
So Vicki, let me ask you a question. What is your preferred method of preserving food?
Two, pickling beets, cucumbers, zucchini, and salsa. We make a ton of salsa. So that's canning, which is a pickling is part of the canning process. And then vacuum packing, which the freezer life on vacuum packed food can be a year or more, because there's absolutely no air and they're frozen, so there's no deterioration. So those two, I also steam can up to 100 quarts of grape juice sometimes. So that's another technique of canning. But canning and vacuum packing. Well, and I gotta add dehydrate. I gotta add dehydrating, because goji berries, I dehydrated 3 or 4 quarts of goji berries last year. I've already dehydrated service berries. So I like those three. They're easy for me because I've been doing it so long. But we can go through each process for each one.
Let me tell you what mine are. I love fermenting. I love to ferment foods. It's different than pickling. Pickling, like Vicky just said, you water bath and use vinegar. But fermentation uses actual yeast and bacteria that are present in the air. And there's a couple different ways to ferment. There's aerobic and anaerobic. Anaerobic is when what you are making is sealed from the outside. Like picture a big crock full of sauerkraut, and that is sealed with what it's a great process. You can also ferment in single mason jars and pick up a fermentation kit. I think Ball makes one, and you can find those online easily. And then there's the aerobic, which is picture kombucha. I don't know if anybody's ever made their own kombucha or seen kombucha brewing. It's a sweet black or green tea, usually, with a SCOBY on top. And the SCOBY stands for symbiotic culture of yeast and bacteria, which you go, ew. But that's actually what makes the fermentation process happen with the tea. And then you flavor it and you get great carbonation. So when I had a garden, I fermented. I had so much abundance. I couldn't give it away. I couldn't can it all, so I started fermenting. And I fermented with a brine, which is just water and salt. You do not want to use iodized salt, though. You need to use either pickling salt or Celtic salt. You need a good grade of salt. So fermentation, I also like dehydration. And you might say, well, dehydration, do I need to buy a dehydrator? You don't. Vicky and I were chatting. You can make a really simple screen, set it out on the patio. Another way of dehydrating, it's really good for herbs, is to put up a string. I have my kitchen sink and there's a cupboard on each side. I put a string across one cupboard to the other with a little nail, and I hang my herbs, and they naturally dry, and then I can just put them in a jar and they're good for a long time.
I have another technique of dehydrating that is super simple and su super inexpensive. You can put your herbs or fruits or whatever on a cookie sheet, put them out in the sun. It'd be nice to put like parchment paper over that so that they're not on the metal by themselves. And then just take, you can go to the hardware store and buy screen like you'd put in your window. And just drape that over that. It'd be nice if you could put it in a frame, but you don't have to. And just dehydrate it. That keeps the bugs off, the flies, bees, and everything else. So simple. In a couple days, everything's dried. And they are absorbing the rays of the sun, which I really like that aspect of it. And then I do a lot of bunches. All my chamomile is in bunches hung in my shed, which is gets pretty warm, but it's not in the sun. And you can hang all kinds of things. The garlic, all these different things you can just hang, and you don't ever have to touch them for several days. So that's another really good way of dehydrating. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do it.
Exactly. So, shall we go through the different types of preserving? We've kind of mentioned a couple. Canning is probably what most people think about when they think about preserving food. Grandma making, like Vicky said, pickles or jams. I grew up with my mom making strawberry jam and pickles, although I think I re it's been a while, but I think I remember her doing fermented pickles. But anyway, with canning, there's two different ways to can. A water bath or a pressure cooker. And Vicky and I both are kind of chicken with the pressure cooker because it's kind of scary. But a lot of people do it with ease. And I went through a course through the University Extension Office. I probably mentioned this before, and I did write an article about it on BBS, about the extension offices. And so I went through a course called Food Safety Advisor. Not all states have it, but it's a really great course, and it teaches you all the different ways, except fermentation, of preserving food. And so I did work with a pressure cooker. It's just a little, to me, it's sketchy. And I know Vicky kind of has the same feeling about that. The thing with the pressure canner is that you have to do meats. If you're going to can meat, you have to do it in a pressure canner. Also, vegetables that are low in acid, for example, green beans or zucchini, a lot of the ones that Vicky mentioned, they're very, very low in acid. And the acid, like let's say in a tomato, you can water bath salsa because the tomato is very high in acid. So there's a number of things that you cannot water can. And again, the extension office we'll have all that information. As a matter of fact, I just happen to have a couple of web addresses here. When I took the course, I was given a book called So Easy to Preserve. And they do have a few websites. So here you go. Get a pencil out, y'all. The first one is www.soeasytopreserve.com. Or www.homepreservation.com, or www.gafamilies.com. The information all comes out of the extension office at the University of Georgia. That's where they test all of the recipes for safety. That hence the name Food Safety Advisor. We learned all about bacteria and botulism and all the others. So safety first, y'all. Safety first. So anyway, back to the canning. Speaking of salsa, Vicky, I know I've mentioned this before, but Vicky's boyfriend grows a salsa garden and he makes the best salsa ever. It is so good. And from what Vicky said, he's got a lot of harvest already coming on.
Oh, we're eating chilies. I've got cucumbers already, and his tomatoes. We've eaten two ripe tomatoes already, which is pretty early, but it's incredible. We're probably going to make our first batch of gherkin dill pickles this week. And another part of canning is you can do a lot of refrigerator canning where you don't have to water bath anything, like the raspberries. Raspberry freezer jam or refrigerator jam is one of the best. And I make bread and butter pickles, refrigerator bread and butter pickles. You know, I'll just do like maybe 4 pints at a time so it doesn't take up a lot of space. But my God, they're so good and they're so easy. You don't have to have a water bath. You don't have to, but these are, safe. And they're just in your refrigerator. You can also put them in a freezer. So you.
Correct, but the point there is it must be refrigerated. You
Absolutely.
can't make a anything pickled
No,
and
yes.
put it in your cupboard for later in the winter. And
No.
that has to be water bath. But if you're doing it in the refrigerator or freezer, absolutely. I've done beets that way, I've done onions that way. Pickled radishes are heaven. That's a very, very good point, Vicki. And one of the other things I mentioned about the water bath, you have to do meat that way. Something my sister and her husband do, I don't eat red meat, but my sister and her husband have a really nice electric dehydrator and they make jerky. They make olive jerky. And there's recipes all over the place for that. But you just have to make sure it's dry enough. If it's not all the way dried, it will mold. But that is another good way to preserve meat. I know the natives used to hang it until it got dry, or they did all c different kinds of ways to preserve meat. But you can't water can it. It is not safe.
No, it has to be pressure canned.
Anything else you want to talk about canning?
I have a steam to make juice. Steaming is another form of canning. And my two properties, mine and my daughter's, is surrounded by grapes. And we've got four different varieties of grapes. And one is the major one is Concord grapes, which makes the best purple grape juice. So we steam it. It's got a big hopper full of grapes, of water underneath. It comes to a boil, it steams, it drips out. You fill a jar, you put a lid on it, and it automatically seals, like in a Kerr or a Ball canning jars. And you don't have to water bath anything. It comes out hot enough to seal the jar. That is really easy. It's so easy, and they're very inexpensive. The steamers aren't expensive at all, so we use that a lot.
That reminds me back in the day, which has been a minute, when I lived in Boise, Vicki and I became friends. I went to a garage sale of hers and we became fast friends. And we've like we've talked about, we've been on many adventures. And at that time, neither one of us had any grapes. I had when I lived in Cuna when I was married, I had a plethora of grapes and I made my own grape juice too. But anyway, at any rate, Vicky got the idea to knock on people's doors that had grapevines, and if you're not going to harvest those, can we pick them for you? And they were more than happy to, because they would get two ripe fall off the vines and then they'd have a lot of flies. So we spent, I don't know how many hours, a few years in a row, making that steamed grape juice. It was so good. It was really, really good.
So easy.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
easy.
Have you ever had any mishaps in canning?
No.
No.
I mean, I've had jars that don't seal in the canning process for one reason or the other. So those just need to go in your refrigerator and
Right.
used up first.
Yeah.
But no, I've done enough of it now to know. And you got to follow the directions on the amount of time, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever. And it's also elevation related, depending
Correct.
on your elevation of where you live. And so you need to have a canning book to get that information, or you can go online and find all of this now.
Yeah.
But that's really important to follow directions for the proper amount of time to water bath.
So
And you just make sure every jar is sealed. It pops, the little thing
Right.
pops
You can
down.
hear them popping. That is such a
Yeah.
satisfying sound
Very
when you
satisfying.
take them out of the water and you put them on a
Yeah.
towel to sit for a while and they start pop, pop, pop. It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
I've really never had any problems with water canning. Years ago, my niece was a she canned a lot in water canning. And she made applesauce and she was taking it out of the canner and one of them exploded. And it actually, she had to go to the hospital because it went down her chest and she got burned. So you do have to be very careful. But I didn't say that to scare you, just to let you know that it's not risk-free. You just have to, and safety first. I cannot stress that enough. Safety first.
Yes.
Okay, what do you want to talk about next, Vicky?
Well, vacuum packing is a really good way of preserving food. I think I just mentioned that I've been vacuum packing raspberries. I have vacuum packed grated zucchini, which I don't know where y'all would live, but here we get baseball bat sized zucchini, and there's still a lot of food value in those. And so I grate up zucchini, I vacuum pack it, and I've got that for zucchini breads, stews, whatever you want to use it for throughout the winter. And I love that. And you do have to invest in a vacuum packer, and you want to invest in a decent one. And then you have to buy the bags and you cut them to size. I love vacuum packing. And when we go camping, we make casseroles and dishes and we freeze it and then we vacuum pack it. And all you got to do is put it in water, boiling water in the vacuum pack, and you've got a whole meal fixed. So it's hand vacuum packing is really handy for lots of things. The other thing that we talked about was, well, the part of the dehydrating process of hanging screens outside. I've got two different kinds of dehydrators, electric, and Ken and I are going to buy a great big one because we've got a lot of stuff coming on this summer that we want to dehydrate. And it costs you some electricity, and it's easy, and you can get dehydrators that have films, so none of your berries. You can make fruit leather, which is wonderful. If you like, I could make a bunch of raspberry fruit leather. We've got peaches coming off. You could just pulverize those and lay them out, and you've got fruit leather in a couple of days, which is wonderful if you have children, school lunches, snacks at work, whatever, So that's another really good thing about dehydrating.
I like to, living up here in, they call it the inland Pacific Northwest, apples are huge. And in the fall, I love to dehydrate apples. I have a core. So you put the apple on and you turn it like in the old days, and it cores and peels the apples. And then you just cut them into pieces and you get these rings that during the winter, apples are they're freshest in the fall. I'll just put it that way. And when you dehydrate, you capture all of that sugar that just comes off, and they're so yummy. And one of the other things with dehydrating is, like you mentioned with the freezing of the zucchini, you can add dehydrated vegetables, to stews. You can use the fruit, you can put them in breads, and there's just so many recipes that you can do during the winter when, things are brought up from Mexico or even further south for the most part. And it's really cool, like when you freeze, let's say you grow corn or even buy some sweet corn, organic preferably, at the grocery store, and you freeze that, and you middle of winter, you bring out your corn, and you have that taste of summer right there. So much better than buying the packages in the store.
Another thing that I wanted to mention is my greens. My greens are still coming off my kale, my chard, my spinach, cilantro. I dehydrate a lot of those leaves, just dry them. You can use any technique to dry them, and then I stick in my I crumble them up into little bits, or you can put them in a food processor and just chop them up. And that's my powder for my smoothies all winter, right? And really, all of these techniques, we're capturing the sunlight from the summer in
I
these
love
foods.
that.
And, to me, that is the greatest transference of energy exchange. We're growing, we're taking the care to tend our gardens and grow them and then harvest them and try to keep as much nutrients and energy for our bodies. And I just love the idea that all winter I'm eating summer sunshine, So it's really important to get techniques down that work well for you. Another thing that we mentioned is with all the farmers markets and fruit stands along highways now coming all the way to through harvest in October is to, oh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, to be able to purchase a lot of these vegetables at pretty inexpensive prices, like for the fermentation of the cabbage, right? Cabbages are really inexpensive almost always in a grocery store, but right now you can find organic gardens and farmers markets and get going with making your kraut now with these.
Mine is in its third week of fermentation.
Nice.
And okay, y'all, sauerkraut. I wrote an article on fermentation at bbsradio.com. And if you go to bbsradio.com/down and dirty and you go down to the bottom of our page, you'll see a bunch of articles that Vicki and I have both written. And I did one on fermentation. There's a recipe for sauerkraut. It is cabbage and salt, and you just need a vessel to put it in to ferment. I myself have an old German crock because I guess I'm an old German, or at least half German. My mom was from Munich. But you can, like I said earlier, you can do it in mason jars. And it is so satisfying to eat your something that you made yourself. And that is, maybe we should move into fermentation now, because fermentation isn't just tasty. The actual fermentation process really brings out the flavors of what you're fermenting, but it's also fantastic for your gut health. Fermentation has a plethora of probiotics, and it can actually even heal your gut. And there's so many things you can ferment. Vicky and I both make kombucha. But like I said, I make sauerkraut. I got really creative when I had a garden, and I took, oh, this vegetable and this vegetable and this vegetable sound like they might be good together, so I fermented them in jars. Vicky, I taught Vicky how to make fermented cashew cheese. So you can ferment
That
nuts
was
and seeds. You can ferment fruit. You can ferment so many things, and you're taking something from nature and actually making it better for you. And at the
even
same,
healthier.
yeah, and you're giving it a tangy depth to the flavor profile of that food that is different than fresh. Don't get me wrong, I love fresh fruit and veggies. That's almost a vegetarian here, but not. I eat fish and I have bone broth. But anyways, one of the things that just came to mind with all of these ways of food preservation, I've talked about safety, but you really have to make sure everything is sanitized. Your jars, hot water, stick them in the dishwasher if you have one. and put the sanitation on. And I cannot stress that enough. You do not want to introduce the bad bacteria. Granted, fermentation uses bacteria and yeast to do its thing, but you don't want the bad kind. We have to stress that. And a lot of the information on the safety tips will be on those websites that I gave you earlier, and I will mention them again at the end of the show. What else do you ferment, Ms. Biggie?
Well, I actually don't know if this is fermented, but my kids gave me some fennel with at Christmas time. And I don't actually think it's fermented, but it could be. You can do this, and it is so freaking good. She puts either lemon rind or orange rind with the fennel and a few peppercorns and things like that. It is so good. And I don't even think, I make the red, I cut up the red onions and put them in vinegar, and I just stick them in like the Mexicans, like a lot of Mexican food places, they'll put that on the table when you order tacos and stuff. And it's not, I don't think it's necessarily
It's
fermented.
not fermented. When you use vinegar, it is
Yeah.
not fermented. That you
Right.
because that's using the vinegar for pickling. Fermentation is using the bacteria and yeast. Actually, the vinegar kills the good bacteria and yeast that causes fermentation. So they are different. They can have similar flavor profiles, but they are different.
Yeah, they're not. No, I don't ferment very much. I ferment a huge crock full of kombucha.
Yes,
Other
you
than that,
do.
I don't necessarily ferment.
You did the cheese.
I did the cheese. Yeah.
Maybe I'll put up the cheese recipe and re-put up a sauerkraut recipe on our Down and Dirty page on BBS for
Yeah.
our lovely listeners.
Well, and don't forget, we do have a Facebook page where whenever we write articles, I also post them on our Facebook page, which is Down and Dirty with Bo and Vic, not Idaho Bo and Vivacious Vic. But we do post everything that we, the links to all of our shows and all of our articles are, and photographs, updates on the garden and whatnot. Or on our Facebook page.
And maybe coming to you too, maybe a few items for purchase. Who knows? We're talking about that one.
Yes.
Another form of preserving your food, which is kind of old-fashioned, a lot of people would think, is root cellaring. I know the pioneers did it. Actually, my like I mentioned a minute ago, my mom is from Munich, Germany, and they root cellared in their basement. So if you have a cool, dry, well-ventilated space, be it in a garage, not if you live in Boise, it won't be cool. But something that stays cool, because otherwise you're going to get some bad bacteria activity. But that,
Spoilage.
yeah, spoilage, exactly. The temperatures that they say are good is between 32 and 40 degrees. So what were you telling me about one of your kids buried?
Well, they buried an old freezer in the ground and a lift up top. And that's their root cellar. That's where they store all their potatoes and onions in the winter. I don't know that it has any air circulation. But they've done, I don't know if they have a pipe coming out of it or what. But excuse me.
Bless you.
I also have a crawl space underneath my house, which stays at, 50 to 55. And I've stored garlic and lots of seeds, and there's like, oh, 8 5-gallon buckets of wheat that when Jay and Amy lived here, they had all they got all this organic wheat. It's full grain and it's been under there for years.
And it's still good.
It's still great.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't use it. I don't have a wheat grinder. You know, and I don't have enough room to grow wheat, but it's still fine for some rainy day or some day that we really are going to need it.
Off topic a little bit, but speaking about wheat and grinding it, years ago, I was with a group of folks and we were talking about getting a real co-op started in Boise. We met a lot. And it comes to find out that all smaller towns, and at one time Boise was small, had a local mill for milling wheat and other kinds of grains, and they don't anymore. And that's just really a shame.
That would be nice.
Maybe we'll go back to the old days and our new golden age, our new earth, start living like we should. More in tune with nature and the seasons, and yeah, but back to preserving that sunshine. So, do you have any other tips for anybody?
Not right off the top of my head at this moment. I'm thinking, I'm circling around here on what other techniques that I use.
So I can talk about
Oh, I do a lot of seed saving, which is a really, really important aspect of gardening. I let lettuce I let a lot of things go to seed. I've got a bunch of garlic going to seed out there from last year. I've got onions that I planted onions in a lot of my flower pots last year because I had a plethora of starts, and those are going to seed right now. So it's really great to capture as many seeds as you can from your garden because those start to become acclimated to your soil, to your exact climate, and they become stronger and stronger and stronger. You do have to know that you can only collect organically grown plants, their seeds. Otherwise, if they're hybridized, the plant will grow, but it won't produce the fruit. And so I grow all my seeds are organic, so I don't need to worry about that. I let my chard go to seed. I let my beets go to seed. Only a certain amount. It doesn't take that much. A couple plants, and you've got more seeds than you're ever going to use next season. So that's another real important part of preserving things out of your garden.
That is also an important part of food sovereignty.
Boots, yeah.
And you also want to make sure it's non-GMO. Again, if it's organic, it should not be GMO because that's one of the stipulations of being organic. I've been saving seeds since probably 2000 and I don't know, 7 or 8. I still have seeds that from way back then, a lot of seeds. And the trick is you have to keep them sealed away from the air and preferably almost, like refrigerated. I actually have a couple gallon jars full of seeds that I keep refrigerated. It's kind of a bummer because it takes a little space in my refrigerator. But for me, food safety is part of food preservation, it's part of seed preservation. So that's a really good point because we're talking about preserving, we might as well talk about saving seeds.
Yeah, the life, you got to preserve the life force within that seed in order for it to germinate. And I'm a member on a couple Facebook groups, Treasure Valley Permaculture, Treasure Valley Organic Gardeners. And I advertised last fall for a seed exchange, and nobody Nobody stepped up, but my girlfriend who lives in Payette, she brought a bunch of seeds over. So she and I had our own seed exchange. And it's just the most wonderful way to share your harvest. And I got some seeds from her that I've never grown. I got kohlrabi. I've never grown kohlrabi. And God, I really like it. I
Yeah,
really,
it's
and
great. I love it.
it's a beautiful plant. And some of the leaves on that kohlrabi were almost 2 feet across. They were huge. Well, what do you do with those? Well, you know what I did? I made kale chips out of
There you
them.
go. Kohlrabi chips.
And they taste just like kale chips. A little, you cut them up, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of salt, put them in the oven. I put mine in the oven at 225 or 200 or something. But here again, you can put them on a tray out underneath a screen in the sun, and they're done in a day. Super, super nutritious, and a great way to use up leafy greens is just make chips out of them.
Does Edwards Greenhouse still do their seed exchange? They used to do it every year.
I have not been here the last 5 years to know whether they do that or not, but
Okay.
I'll keep my eyes open this year because I've got so many seeds. I've got so many
Yes,
seeds
you do.
from years past, but also you want to keep them as current as you can, you want to keep them current and preserved. But I've got chard seeds that have regrown and provided more for the last 5 years. I let enough of them go to seed, so I've got chard seeds for a long time to go. And kale. In fact, I've got a thing up. I cut my kale off one plant. I planted kale all over the yard last year. I have one plant came up this spring that I didn't harvest, and I let it go to seed. And now I've got to go get those seeds. And that's the kind of plant you want to look out for, the one that's really strong. Doesn't die in the winter, goes through all the heat cycles and cold cycles and popped up, and it was just loaded with flowers. Those are the ones you want to harvest because they're the strongest, they're most resilient, and they've adapted really well to your climate. So that's another really important aspect of keeping the garden circular through all seasons. Collecting seeds, they're ready to go back in. And I'm collecting a whole bunch of my pink poppies that are just finishing blooming. And I share those with anyone that wants them. They're so beautiful. I got to have my flowers. It's not all about food.
Exactly.
But I do a
Exactly.
lot of seed saving, a lot.
Speaking of flowers, in our last show with Ian, we talked about, he asked if we've seen very many pollinators. And I'm staying out at my sister's house, caretaking for her, but I still need to go home in this heat every single day to water. And the comfrey plant that you gave me, Vicky, it is ginormous. And it's flowering, and I want to cut it down so it can come back because it's, it will keep growing. But when I was watering yesterday, I planted echinacea this year in a pot, and it is blooming right now. And I'm watering, and I look over, and I see a honeybee, and it's gathering pollen from the echinacea, and then it flew over to the comfrey, and I thought, oh, I can't do it yet. I have to wait. But that's another thing. Preserving your herbs, really easy. Like I said, you can dry them. Just hang a string anywhere, and you can. My hack is I'll cut them off so I have enough stem to wrap a string around it, tie it in a little knot, excuse me, tie it in a bow. Then I get a paper clip. And I open it up so it looks like an S, and I hang part of it on the loop from the bow I've just tied, and then I just put the other end on the string. You don't need any fancy equipment. A lot of this, like Vicky said, you don't have to have fancy equipment. When I moved here, I didn't have any preservation utensils. I went to the thrift store and I bought a canner, perfect condition, for I think $5, a water bath canner. I was given by my niece a food hydrator, and it's not a great quality, but I'm one person, so I don't need a lot. But I do run it a lot during apple season time. I love dried apples, they're so good. Again, you can dry just about anything you can eat. But yeah, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can go to a thrift store, you can make your own items, and you can find a lot of this information online. So, anything else to add for the people, Miss Vicky?
Oh, wow. Just reach out to us if you have questions or ideas of things, techniques that you use in your areas, because we really want to keep sharing as much information and innovative ways of doing things. There's just not one way to do any of these techniques. They can be very regional. And so it'd be fun to share and hear some of the things that you people might be doing. You can always post on our BBS radio page. And I mean, there's so much going on right now in the garden. I mean, as I dig up and can and pickle my beets, I plant a whole new batch, In fact, I've got to go get out there and plant my next batch because I'm going to harvest the rest of my beets. So, you can get sometimes two or three crops. And if you live down south where it never freezes, you can go all year. So, this is an exciting time on so many levels in our country and in the world that we're the way showers to creating community, of helping to create sovereignty in your household with your family and your needs for nutrition, and then also getting out of the system. This is why we are doing this, but this is why Bo and I are concerned about bringing this information forward, is to help us get out of the system that wants us to be sick, the system that wants us to support these conglomerate ag businesses that do not have our interests at heart at all. So it's about becoming independent. So we love to hear from anybody that has new ideas, new things to add to, and just keep going. Just keep going. Keep experimenting.
Since I don't have a Facebook account and you're the one that is the administrator over on Facebook, can they contact us there and ask questions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, you can comment, you can ask questions, and it's very easy to for me to respond to that.
And then the other way, Vicky mentioned, again, it's bbsradio.com/down-and-dirty. If that will take you right to our page. And if you scroll down a bit, there is an email form, and that will come directly to me because I guess I'm the administrator of that. We would love to hear any questions you have. Do you want recipes? Would you like how-to videos? And again, with the how-to videos, we're still talking about that. We might try to monetize those a little bit, but we'll always be very fair and keep them inexpensive because we know, times aren't always easy for a lot of us right now. Although it's getting better every single day. And
Yes, it
because
is.
we are coming together as community, we are finding our people. And Vicky and I found each other quite a while ago, but I'm finding people all the time that are like-minded, like-hearted, I should say, because I'd rather come from the heart than the mind, but you know how the saying goes. Yeah, so let me give those websites again, Vic, for the lovely listeners. It's www so easy to preserve.com, all one word. www home food preservation.com or www.gafamilies.com. And I actually found those in the book that I was given when I took the food safety advisor course through the Idaho Extension Office, University Extension Office. I've done a little research. Not all states have that course. They all have master gardeners, but they don't all have the preserving class. But there is so much information online now. And yeah, you can always ask us questions. If we don't know the answer, we know where to find it. There's another book that I really like because I love to ferment. It's called Wild Fermentation by Sandor, Sandor, Alexis, Ellix, Katz, Katz. And it has all kinds of really groovy recipes in it. It even tells you how to make beer, wine, and meats, misos and tempeh, sourdough. Oh, we didn't talk about sourdough. Oh my
Oh,
goodness.
that's a fermentation.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
And
is.
Bo taught me how to make gluten-free, and I just rehydrated. I dried out a whole cookie sheet of gluten-free sourdough starter, and now I just rehydrated it to make sure it works, and it works, and I'm going to start marketing that online. That will be on my Facebook page as something that can be purchased and sent anywhere in the country
I have some too.
with a print. Yes, we're both doing it with a printed out sheet on how to do it, and it's really fun. And the other thing I wanted to say is we love subscriptions from people. It costs us money to put this show on, and we would love, if you're interested, for you to subscribe to our show. And there's a lot more to come. The season's young, and
Yes, it is.
we've got a lot of territory and different ideas on the different kinds of things that we want to share with you. So at this point, I just say thank you for listening. Thank you for your contributions. And we welcome all kinds of ideas or personal experiences that you might have in these areas of food preservation and growing all of this.
So something just occurred to me, Vic. If you are into personal sovereignty in as far as gardening and food, herbs in that vein, you can also contact us. And maybe if you'd like to maybe be interviewed on our show, we've had our friend Matt, our good friend Matt, and then Ian from Wales last week, and then Don, who's one of the owners of BBS Radio. And one of my friends said, "Oh, it's so cool to see the men coming forward." And anyway, yeah, if you're interested in sharing with everybody, let's talk, and you can reach us again at our BBS page or on Facebook. And I don't have anything else to say. What about you, Vic? Is that a wrap?
I think that's a wrap. Thank you for everything, and I'm having a blast harvesting what I've put so much effort into. It's really worth it.
It is worth it. And it's so satisfying and so tasty.
And so good for us.
All
Yes,
right.
thank you everybody. Thank you Bo. Thank you BBS Radio. Until next time, adios.
Adios. Cue the music, Don.
Thank you.